Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. With available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome to the Early Whites, presented by BetMGM. I am your host, Eric Cohen, otherwise known as EC. Make sure to like this video and subscribe to the Sportsline YouTube page. There's so many good things coming up here in the next few weeks, months, and beyond on this page. So check us out. And plus, we have the host of Early Edge on this program. So you want to at least, you know, check that out every day at 10 a.m. Eastern. But let's bring in the stars of the show. We have the great Patrick McDonald from CBS Sports, a genius golf writer. Check him out. He also writes for Sportsline and puts out great columns that sell a lot of subscriptions. So good job with that. And the great Sian Ajad, who is the host of The Early Edge every weekday, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. On this channel. We'll start with you, Sia. Well, we have another elevated event here in Charlotte. Patrick is on site. I kind of want to get right into your storyline because it kind of is the first topic I was going to go to nonetheless. So Scottie Scheffler's wife is having the baby now. Sometime this week, or maybe Patrick knows more about that. Nonetheless, he's not around. So what does this mean for everybody else?
Oh, well, I don't know what Patrick knows about Scottie's home life, but that would be incredible if you did know that stuff. Let's talk about this, EC. I'm going to answer your question, but the chat is so on top of it, right? Because my storyline is, okay, we have a Scottie-less tournament again. Like, who's going to take advantage of that? And what's interesting is I think I have some intriguing names, both in DFS and in the outright market, that for the record could completely crash and burn. And I'm not going to give away which comment here addresses maybe somebody that I like that pretty much the rest of the market doesn't. But I do think there is room for some of these superstars that haven't been superstars to really pick up their game at Wells Fargo, because I do think it's kind of a course that caters to the elite golfer, right? We know we're going to have length out here. I think you got to be solid with the putter around the green game. I'm not super, like, not a huge emphasis on that, but the ball striking certainly has to be there. And I think there's some guys that have had poor 2024 form where I'm seeing that there's such a good course fit, I think they can rebound. But nonetheless, is it going to be Rory? Is it going to be Xander? Is it going to be somebody like Cantlay or Max Homa, who's had success here, or Victor Hovland or Colin Morikawa? Like, this is the time to strike, right? Because there's no Scottie Scheffler, and I didn't even mention Wyndham Clark. There's no just sort of intimidation factor on Sunday. Oh, I got to hit every shot perfectly, because if I don't, Scottie Scheffler is going to win this tournament. So I think, actually, I hate to say it, I love the tournaments without Scottie Scheffler because he's too good. And I do think some of these guys do get intimidated by the moment on Sunday, but without him, some of these guys can rise up.
All right. Now, Patrick, you're on site. You're in Charlotte. You're going to be there. It's what's the weather like and what is your storyline?
The beautiful Queen City, EC, found out today. That's what, the nickname is. Charlotte doesn't really get a lot of run these days. I feel like I haven't met a Charlotte in a while. So maybe we'll bring that name back this year. Maybe not. But my storyline is, I looked at the forecast this week to pack. It looked great. Sunny, mid-80s. I was like, fantastic. Brought a pair of white shoes today. I step out of my car into a big, fat pile of mud. It is wet there at Quail Hollow. They resurfaced the greens, so these are new greens these guys are putting on, so they're still pretty firm and fiery despite the amount of rain. But even Xander Schauffele talked today. He was saying how normally balls in the fairway, they will cream into bunkers, roll out into the rough. There's like barely any rough out here, but they're really just stopping wherever they land, and that will only lead, I think, to the bombers having even more of an advantage, right? I mean, this is a golf course that can stretch to 7,600 yards. That's one of the longest on the PGA Tour. It already plays very difficult. And then you have guys like a Rory McIlroy, a Wyndham Clark, Cam Young. I just watched him hit drives for like 5 minutes today. It's just a different sound off that guy's club face. Guys like that who can have the added carry distance, they're going to have a lot of success this week.
And that is the insight you get on this program from one Patrick McDonald and of course, Sia Najat. I mean, that I didn't even look at the forecast. And usually I kind of do that. And I should have known with Charlotte and that part of the country, it kind of rains. I mean, you know, in the Southeast, it rains, you know, quite often. But that's to think about a course that's this long. And this is one of the longest courses on tour at over 7,500 yards. It's a great point that you make. The no rolling out, that the shorter hitters, unless they're incredible long iron players, going to struggle. All right, so here's my storyline. I want to ask you both about this one. Should we be wary of betting certain players to win who haven't in well over a year at short odds? And how short of odds are too short? So my example is Xander Schauffele, who hasn't won in almost 2 years, is plus 900 this week. Sia, I'll start with you. Just because of that logic, I mean, a guy hasn't won since 2022. At less than 10-1, you can't bet him, can you?
Well, I don't think you can bet him at less than 10-1. I agree with you because, if he was – first of all, I'll say this. If you think he's going to win, then you should bet him, whether it's 10-1 or whether it's 16-1, or which is probably where I think it should – well, I think it should probably be in, like, maybe the 14-1 range. The thing about Xander Schauffele and the thing about golf in general is if you're putting yourself in a position – and usually in Xander's case, it's like a backdoor top five, backdoor top 10. But – he, without Scottie Scheffler, definitely has a chance to compete here. And I think the number's probably too short. I'm not betting him, but I would have no issue with somebody saying, listen, he's been inside the top five, inside the top 10 at these elite events, these signature events, these majors way too often. Now it's time for him to actually get a win. Like that's a fine argument. I'm not betting him though.
Patrick, when you bet singles and not, you know, throwing parlays in there, like you look at Sia's pick on the early edge this morning was Mets first five. You want to parlay that with Xander and get, you know, 25-1? Hey, I'm good with that. That's good value. And you're probably going to win the first part because Sia picked it on the morning show. But Patrick, when you're betting just straight up, no parlays, which obviously is the recommended way to do it, what is your rule on betting guys that haven't won in a long time?
I don't know if I have a rule. I will say if you bet Xander Schauffele, that's probably like the only guy you're going to bet this week at that number, right? 9-1, you're pretty much putting all your exposure on Xander Schauffele. And if you're comfortable doing that, and like Sia said, if you think he's going to win the golf tournament, who am I to tell you not to do it, right? But I'd rather just spread the wealth a little bit, bet on four guys in the 69-man field who probably have the same amount of winning equity, if not more combined than Xander Schauffele, to nab this golf tournament.
Before we get into DFS, I want to ask you, would both of you have taken Oberg anywhere if he had been in the tournament?
Yes. My card was going to be Ludwig, and I mean, I'll just give it away right now because it'll be funny going into this DFS portion since I've seen Patrick's picks as of 5 minutes ago. But my two plays were going to be Ludwig and Wyndham Clark.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, Wyndham Clark is still one of my plays. I have two other plays now, which of course you'll have to wait and see, but I really liked Ludwig this week a lot.
How about you, Patrick?
Yeah, he opened at what, like 14-ish, I think?
Yep.
Something like that?
Yep.
Yeah, I looked at that number for a very long time, but it was hard to look past him this week, that's for sure.
I even would have bet that at plus 1,100, because one thing, and wow, this is a little like shopping down narrative street a little bit, but like there are guys, and we'll talk about it later, that can close on Sunday and guys that just can't meet the moment. And again, I know people might say, well, yeah, that's what we've seen so far. They can turn it around. But like when I'm watching it, I feel like I see guys that are really seizing the moment and guys that are just kind of like doing their best to seize the moment, but they just can't get there. Ludwig is one of those guys that's so good that there is no seizing of the moment. He's just sort of like Patrick says, he's like artificial intelligence. He's just sort of on autopilot. And Scottie Scheffler's a similar way. Those types of guys I'm willing to take at shorter odds because I don't think they're going to crumble in the moment. Xander, Rory, I mean, listen, I know Rory, like these guys have a good track record, but I got to be honest, there's some guys in this tournament and Ludwig was in this tournament that I might want to take if they're even on Sunday, one-on-one.
All right, let's get into DFS here. And see, I'll start with you. I'm kind of surprised because you're both fading a player that I kind of like this week, Sia, you're fading Tommy Fleetwood. Now, I'm going to give you a stat, and I'll repeat this later in the show. He's played 7 tournaments in the U.S. this year. 3 top 10s, 4 starts outside the top 30. Is that, I mean, the ultimate boomer bust guy, is that why you're fading him this week?
Well, that's the thing. He's not the ultimate boomer bust guy because he can't win. I mean, listen, I'm looking for spike potential here, and I'm looking for guys that are going to be not super popular in DFS. And I don't know that Tommy Fleetwood's going to be incredibly popular, but he's certainly going to be more popular than the guy that I just listed at the top of my board, which I'll talk about in a second. Tommy Fleetwood just doesn't seem like a guy in a signature event that's going to take down a win. Now, granted, he's only 9,500. He doesn't have to win. He could top 6 or top 4 or top 7, and he has a good chance to pay off his price. But I'm just not, like, in the outright market too. His odds were, like, getting shorter and shorter. I'm just not interested in Tommy Fleetwood when I have some of these big guns in the field, whether Scotty's in it or not. The Victor Hovland play, I think people are looking at that and they're like, all right, what are we doing here? Here's the thing about Victor Hovland. Like, nobody's going to play him. And we're playing DFS, right? Listen, he might get some ownership. It might creep up a little bit. But the reality is nobody knows where Victor Hovland's game is. And the last we've seen of Victor Hovland, which, oh, by the way, was over 3 weeks ago when he missed the cut at the Masters. That's a long time, in my opinion, by the way. But, you know, he wasn't good. He missed the cut, like I just said. I think this is a really good course fit for Victor Hovland. I think not a lot of people are going to play him in DFS. I think... we could make an assumption that the 3 weeks off was, you know, very intentional for him to get his game back a little bit. And maybe he's got it. When it comes to superstars, I think they can flip the switch. If it's a middling player, I'm not looking for them to flip the switch. I don't think there's a switch to flip. Victor Hovland, as of 6 months ago, was one of the top 2 or 3 players in the world. And frankly, because he's such a good course fit, I think he'll gain some confidence with his off the tee game. He might gain some confidence with his good long iron play. He might gain some confidence with his greens and regulation, which he still rates out pretty well at. So at 9,200, if people aren't going to play him, I think he can win the tournament. So I'm going to play him. Akshay Batia, I'll keep this one short. We'll talk about him later in the show. This guy is a menace with the ball striking. He can absolutely pop. And the best part is, over his last 5 tournaments, he's been very consistently gaining with the putter. So I'm getting a guy who can spike. You talked about spike potential, boom or bust. I'm getting a guy that can boom over 4 rounds. By the way, this is a no-cut event. Boom over 4 rounds, but has showed really good consistency with the putter. It's like the perfect combination for DFS and potentially for other markets as well. Matthew Pavon's my next guy at 6,500. I just think he's underpriced. I will say there's a lot of guys in this range that I like, including Cameron Davis, including Kurt Kitayama. We talked about length. Matthew Pavon certainly has that, but Cam Davis and Kitayama have that as well. And I got to say, Cam Davis has been playing pretty well over his last few tournaments. But Pavon, we've seen him win. We've seen him, the spike potential from him. And I think 6,500 is drastically underpriced. If he's super popular, feel free to pivot. I don't think you need to. You can get different other places.
You ever have that time when you're betting and you're like, I'm due, or this player's due, whatever sport you're betting? That's Sia this week with Victor Hovland. I mean, yes. The recent form, not so good. But you're saying he's due, and I can get behind it because I like that logic. Now, Patrick, normally I'm a fade on Wyndham Clark. He's the world's number 3 ranked player, though, and I still feel like he's being disrespected, even at this price, considering he won by 4 strokes here last year, and his record in signature events is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And I just think all that Ludwig ownership, which there's going to be a lot of, I think is going to pivot to the defending champion. Yeah. And so because of that, I'm okay taking a pass on him. I'm going to play him somewhat, not a ton, though, where I know his signature event history this year is unbelievable. It seems like he finishes on the podium in all of them. But the other 5 events, they aren't so great. He doesn't have a top 25 in those. So there's a wide range of outcomes with Clark. Obviously, a win is more than possible. And I do see some people in the chat saying, I'm not a parlay guy. I might be thinking of parlaying Wyndham Clark this week and next week because I love the course fit for him. Yeah. If you want to get super weird, like throw five bucks on it and then just retire after that if you want. But I'm out on Clark DFS wise. He can obviously win this golf tournament. I'm just not going to play him because of ownership. Adam Scott, 7,700. You talk about someone who's due, EC. It's me and Adam Scott.
You are.
He's driving the golf ball like crazy right now, hitting it great, has a string of solid results. He played well here last year as well. Plenty long off the tee. I'm going back to the well. Adam Shank is playing great golf as well. 3 top 15s in his last 4, including a T12 at the Masters. He has 1 solid finish here, so I will take a dip at 7,100. And then my guy, he's one of my guys, Taylor Moore, Less is more, 6,700. Plenty long off the tee, a super underrated short game. Top 10 in this field in terms of scrambling and around the green. And so I think he can have a sneaky good week, top 20, maybe top 10 potential.
You know, I'm trying to sit here as you're talking and figure out a parlay, the two-week parlay, because that's my kind of bet right there. Sure, you could probably get that at over 100-1, something like that. I mean, listen, your logic, it makes sense. Both these course fits make sense for Wyndham Clark. However, I'm very disappointed that Grayson Sigg still has not gained entrance to a signature event, but it's coming. And I will say this, the other week, when they were at the, I think it was the opposite, the RBC, what was the other, Punta Cana, something like that, where he was contending. And yeah. I was like, uh-oh, I'm going to owe Patrick $50 if Grayson Sigg wins. Because between he and Keith Mitchell, if those guys ever win, like I'm paying for a bet for each one of you, a parlay for each one of you the next week. I'm not concerned yet, but we'll see about that. All right, on to FRLs. And Sia, you came so close last week with Alex Noren, who was my pick outright, and he gave it a run. You're only one shot off. Matt Wallace kind of ruined it. But this week, you're going back to the well, to the top of the board. Interesting.
Yeah, one more, we would have had a split with Matt Wallace, and at 45-1, that would have been an enjoyable split. So this is how I'm going to get access to Rory McIlroy. I don't think I'm going to play Rory in DFS. I don't criticize anybody who does. I don't think I'm going to end up there. And by the way, speaking of Patrick McDonald's game theory play on fading Wyndham Clark, he's absolutely right. Wyndham Clark's going to be very popular, especially when you consider how much cheaper he is than guys like Rory McIlroy and who was it, Xander Schauffele. But I'll say this. You pair Wyndham Clark with Victor Hovland, who nobody wants to play. Okay, now we've decreased our total ownership by a huge margin before we even get into the 8K, 9 or 8K, 7K, and 6K range. So just these are the types of things to think about when you're playing a very heavily owned golfer like Wyndham Clark will be. Yeah, like I said, Rory McIlroy, he's one of those guys that I know it sounds crazy, but again, if I have him up against Wyndham Clark on a closing Sunday back nine and they're tied going down the stretch, I know it's crazy and I'm sure I'm in the minority. I'll take Wyndham Clark on that one. And in the signature events, Wyndham Clark like sort of has been that dude. So I'm going to take Rory just in the first round leader market where we see that swagger. I don't know if you guys, how much like people are watching round one, two, three, and four, but like four, like you see some head shakes and from Rory McIlroy, round three, a little bit of that. But round one, he's got swagger. When he plays well, the shoulders are popping back and forth. Like, he is really feeling it. I've seen that recently from him in big-time tournaments. So I like Rory at plus 1,600. Akshay, we already talked about. He can absolutely pop. He can roll it with the putter as of late. Cameron Davis, I only got three here. It's only a 70%, well, actually a 69% field now without Ludwig. But Cameron Davis, one of those guys that I may play in DFS. I'm not really keen on playing in the outright market necessarily, or even in the matchup market, because I do think it could go sideways for him potentially. But I'm seeing something with his game that is really good, and I do think he's a pretty good course fit here. 66-1 is your first round leader. I'll take that. By the way, those are at BetMGM. The Rory ones at DraftKings, Akshay and Cameron Davis first round leaders are at BetMGM. At like DraftKings and FanDuel, those Akshay and Cameron Davis numbers are kind of in that like 35 and 55-1 range, just so you know what the difference is.
Yeah, always shop for the best line, especially if you're not parlaying. Patrick, you are a resident weatherman on the show. Do we have anything for Thursday in terms of a side of the draw that may benefit from weather or not so much?
Well, there's not much of a draw, right? I'm shocked that they're doing split tees. I thought they'd go off early and do a single tee start, but they're doing split tees from I think it was 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So not much of a split, I guess, or advantage one way or another.
In your opinion, is the back nine harder or is the front nine harder at Quail Hollow?
Oh, gosh. I will say they added a tee on 16. That's super long par four. I know some people might be confused because they switched around the layout for the President's Cup to play the Green Mile in most matches. But the start of the Green Mile, 16, the carry on that bunker at the top of the hill now, I think, is 340, which is ridiculous. People used to be carrying that, easy these last few years. But that stretch is beefy. It is very, very beefy. It's just a tough golf course. I'm not too sure. I walked mostly the back today.
We are not scheduled, Zach, to talk about Myrtle Beach, but don't worry. I'll throw a pick in for Patrick. I'll ask him to make a pick later in the show. See if you have anything on the Myrtle Beach tournament. Get ready for the end of the show. We gotta listen. We're a show of the people. we want to address what you guys, and a lot of Myrtle Beach chat talk in our chat this week. So we'll get to that later in the show. But coming up next, let's find out who everyone likes in matchups. But first, let's hear from one of our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right. I don't see any in looking at the board, whether, you know how I always look for whose money can I lose, or who can I lose to, going to lose my money to. Usually it's Patrick, but see, I've stayed away from you all year. Probably a good idea. Nonetheless, I kind of like where we're at this week. Patrick, I'll start with you. You're going to fade an interesting name in Colin Morikawa, who I actually agree with because at plus 2,200, I'm not sure I love that either. Give me your thoughts on why do you like Cam over him?
Oh, that one's for you, Sia.
Yeah,
I thought. Oh, sorry, Sia. Okay. I'm sorry, Sia.
I was looking at Patrick's board and I was like, oh, sweet, he's fading him too. And then I was like, oh no, that's just me.
Why are you? Okay. Yeah. I was looking at my notes. Whoops. Why are you fading Colin?
Yeah, I mean, I think I like the number more than anything here. Both of these guys have been pretty inconsistent, although I will admit Colin's been pretty good lately. The ball striking's kind of been okay. The putter has definitely been good over his last few tournaments. But overall, when it comes to the putter, where Cam Young has issues too, I think they're both still classified as inconsistent, right? Cam Young can sometimes spike with the putter. Colin Morikawa lately has spiked with the putter. But I kind of think that's a wash. And when it comes to, and even if Colin has a slight advantage there, when it comes to the ball striking and when it comes to the off the tee game, particularly Cam Young's length off the tee, I just don't think he should be a plus 100 dog. I don't think he should be an even money dog to Colin Morikawa. I honestly think this should be like minus 110, minus 115 each way. And so I feel like I'm getting a little bit of value on Cam Young, and I do feel like he's going to finish higher than Colin Morikawa. This course sets up much better for him, in my opinion. Next, we go to Alex Noren, minus 120 over Russell Henley. I think on the surface, these guys look pretty similar, but when you look at the strokes gain metrics, Alex Noren outclasses Russell Henley in a pretty large way. And that's not because Russell Henley's playing incredibly poorly. It's because Alex Noren's doing everything correctly. And when you look at some of the other metrics that I'm trying to look at here, greens in regulation, bogey avoidance, long iron play, things like that, Noren's got him there too. So this is just one of those situations where I think this number, honestly, should be like minus 140. And it's not. And at minus 140, I might have considered it, to be honest with you. I'll take it at minus 120. And then finally, Adam Scott over here, English. I was on HQ earlier today, this morning, and I gave out an Adam Scott prop, top oceanic play, which is basically top in region, nationality prop, New Zealand, Australia, those Micronesia, Polynesia. That's what's encompassed in that oceana play, that sort of South Pacific geography lesson, everybody. And I had him over Cam Davis at plus 130 and Jason Day. I still kind of like that, but I like this one better, which is why I'm coming to the show with this one, because Cam Davis does seem like a bit of a wild card to me, and I do think he could potentially flash. So I want to take him out of it, and I want to go against a guy in Harris English who is doing it all with the short game, a lot of it with the around the green play, which I don't think is going to be a huge factor here, because we've seen people succeed here with lacking around the green play. The approach play on Harris English is pretty bad, certainly relative to Adam Scott, who seems to be doing everything pretty well. So I'll take Adam Scott minus 130 over Harris English.
You know, no wonder I thought you had Patrick made those picks. There was an Adam Scott play. Of course, I should have read my notes more, but I just assumed Adam Scott. It's like if I saw Steven Yeager, I just assume it's UC. I don't expect Patrick to pick that. So, you know, just roll. If it's Grayson Sigg, we all know who that is.
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, last week in my storyline, I said something about Jordan Spieth, saying it was make or break for Jordan Spieth. And I guess it was break because Jordan Spieth is broken. And yet you're getting Ben on at only minus 120 over Spieth. Seems like great value.
I love this pick. Love, love, love this pick, which means tread lightly, tread very lightly. I will say I walked out of the media center today, not to get off topic too much.
And
Jordan Spieth was ripping five-footers on the green. Michael Greller behind him on all fours, just looking exhausted. And then I go to the range, talk to a few people, take in some of the guys, see what they're doing. Victor's grinding, trying to get that swing right. Homa's fine-tuning. I come back about like a half hour later. Greller's in the same position. Jordan's still ripping five-footers. So that was just kind of a cherry on top. I had this pick in before that even happened. And I hate being the guy who's like, oh, well, I saw this on the range, or I saw this or that. I never do that. But it's just a little cherry on top. I liked Benny on before that. He's been playing great golf. He hits it a mile. And like you said, EC, Spieth is kind of lost right now. Four missed cuts in his last seven, I believe. And he has the DQ as well. So hoping he gets right. The game of golf needs him to get right, but I don't think this is the week for him, unfortunately. And then Hideki Matsuyama, minus 130 over Brian Harman. This is not a Brian Harman golf course. It's probably going to be a little too big for him, although he has played well on long golf courses before, like Aaron Hills. I don't really see Quail Hollow kind of being his bread and butter. Meanwhile, Hideki Matsuyama was like the hottest name in the streets before the Masters. He had one bad start, and it wasn't even that bad. He finished outside the top 30. He hasn't played since, so I'm willing to take that price at minus 130. Forget about the rust. The talent plays there. He's arguably been a top five player in the world this year, so I will take him at that number.
I think that's a great pick, and I will talk about Matsuyama in the next segment. Now, my two head-to-head picks, I hate fading Will Zalatoris. I love to watch Will Zalatoris play. That putter, oof. And that back pulling out of the tournament last week, oof. So we're going to fade him and roll with Tony Finau at minus 130. You can find that on DraftKings. So we don't know what the deal is with Zal's back. Maybe Patrick will have some insight on that. But I can tell you this. Losing 12 strokes putting combined over your last four tournaments, it's not good. He has a missed cut in his only appearance here in 2021 when he was actually playing really, really well. Tony Finau in his last three tournaments has a T2 and a T12 among them. Not bad. So we're going to roll with that at minus 130. This one's a little risky, especially with what Sia talked about with Akshay a little bit earlier. But I'm taking Siwoo Kim over Bhatia at minus 130. Also on DraftKings, Siwoo is top 30 in each of his last six tournaments. The consistency is there. Now, only one top 10. That top 30, you know what you're going to get from Siwoo. He's going to be in the top half of the field. Now, Akshay, not too much of a slouch either. He's top 30 in four of his last five, but he lost a little over three shots off the tee at the RBC Heritage. That concerns me a bit. If that driver's not working, especially this week, and I know we have wider fairways at Quail Hollow, Siwoo seems a bit more consistent. I have to admit, I like this pick less after what I heard from Sia, but just tread, as we say, we tread carefully on this one. All right, see, let's go on to finishing positions. Patrick's going to sit this one out, but you have a few and you're going with, well, I should know. You're taking the consistent bets. Why do you like Xander and Wyndham?
Yeah, you know, I usually go T20, T30 here. I mean, I do think this is an elite field. I do think Xander and Wyndham are going to be in the top 10. And I don't want to bet Xander outright. Like, I'm trying to find other ways. Like, Rory, I don't want to bet him outright at plus 650. Like, that's absurd. At least in my opinion, it's absurd. So I'm going to find him in the first round leader market, right, at plus 1600. Hopefully we can get that Rory swagger for the first 18 holes. Xander Schauffele at a plus number, basically even money to top 10. I mean, he's just really been a top 10 machine. And he does everything right. The metrics speak to everyone, including me. Do I think he can close on a Sunday? No, not really. But T10 at plus money or even money, I'm going to take that in this field. Wyndham Clark, T10 at plus 160. I like that as well. I mean, the beauty of these two top 10s is I think they can both hit. But if one of these two is in the top 10, I'm still winning money. Hopefully it's Wyndham Clark, right? Because then we're all winning a little bit more. But I mean, I feel like one of these two is definitely going to be in the top 10. And I'm pretty confident that both of them are going to be in the top 10. So this is how I decided to address this market this week.
I think your plays are brilliant. And I almost wish I could copy them right now because those are safe bets. And as you said, if you lose one of them and the other one hits, you're still going to make money. And, you know, check those out. BetMGM, remember, it's the only sportsbook that pays out ties in full on this particular bet. All right, I have four of them. Tommy Fleetwood, boom or bust, plus 225, BetMGM. Three top 10s, four outside the top 30s this season. Which one's it going to be? At plus 225? Yeah, I'll take a shot there. He was T14 here in 2021 and T5 here last year. And we'll take it. Plus 225. Sounds good to me. We just heard about Hideki Matsuyama. I'm going to take him top 20 plus at even money on MGM. Last five. I think you guys mentioned this. First, T12, T6, T7. Kind of a disappointing T38 at the Masters. We haven't seen him in almost 4 weeks. He's going to bounce back this week, and I think a top 20 seems like a good bet at even money. Possesses the perfect combo of length and around the green play. Remember, if you've been watching the show for the last 6 weeks or longer, Patrick has multiple times referred to him as the best around the green player on the PGA Tour right now. So just point that out. Is that still correct? Do you still agree with that?
Yes, and the numbers do as well.
Okay, I like that. Numbers are good. Except when I picked these two guys, top 30, Seamus Power, plus 138. So listen, his game has been pretty bad. Just kind of like me trying to talk in this segment. Hasn't been very good. He was T12 at the RBC Heritage. He has two top 20s and four appearances here, including a T18 last year. He's turning that game around. So all he has to do is finish basically in the top half of the field at plus 138. Yeah, we'll take our chances. Now this one. This is crazy. Justin Rose, top 30 at plus 160, also on BetMGM. He has three top fives here between 2014 and 2019 and three appearances. I mean, it's amazing. You can't do much better than that without winning. The problem is that was 5 years ago and beyond. Still, maybe this brings back good juju for Justin Rose, who only has one top 30 this season. Let us hope, because I'm going to play it at plus 160. Yeah, I'm going out on a limb with this one. I'll take my chances. Come on, Justin. Now, by the way, last week, if you read my article on sportsline.com, every now and then I throw in a good tidbit. I had SH Kim as my long shot, and he finished T4. I played him top 40 on this program. I wish I had played him even higher. Not too shabby. Now, if you want to make some of these bets and get paid out for ties on finishing positions, you can do so at BetMGM. And if you aren't a customer, it's time to sign up. New BetMGM customers can sign up today and get up to $1,500 in bonus bets. Just place your first wager of at least $10 and you'll receive up to $1,500 instantly if your bet loses with bonus code EDGE. That's EDGE, EDGE. Coming up next, my auto fades and some winners.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Now, Patrick, have we heard any updates on Scottie Scheffler's baby? You alluded to it early in the show. Has he had the baby yet? Is he going to be good to go next week?
I did not allude to anything. You did. I did not. Do not.
That was amazing.
My mouth.
Reverse psychology. Tell us, Patrick. You clearly know the news.
What do we know about Scottie's baby situation that you can say on the air?
I don't know anything. I will say there's a chance he doesn't play next week. Like, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
What if the baby comes on Tuesday or Wednesday?
Better hurry up. Better schedule a C-section.
I will say the story at the Masters, completely overblown. Completely yes. Overblown. And now, I mean, it's crunch time, obviously. So the baby, to my knowledge, hasn't arrived yet. And so we only have, a week-ish left? So, it's a non-zero chance.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's fair. I think we can all agree if Scotty is not in the field next week, the PGA Championship is a lot more compelling. I mean, not that it's not compelling anyways as the second major of the year, but Scotty Scheffler 3-1. I mean, you can't bet that.
Like, you mean from a betting perspective?
Yeah, I mean, we're all going to watch it, of course. But I'm talking about from a betting standpoint, exactly. Like, you can't bet Scotty Scheffler plus 300. You have to play the anti-Scotty market, right? I would assume.
Yeah, 300 off a month layoff, new baby in the house, probably steer clear.
All right, Jake, let's see the auto fade list once again, even though I'm still chapped about Shane Lowry. The Zurich should not count. Rory McIlroy carried him to victory. Scotty Scheffler has, since I made this list, 4 first place finishes and a T2, where he very well could have won if he had made a 5-foot putt on the 18th hole to go to a playoff against Steven Yeager. But the rest of the list has held up very well. And just making sure, oh, wait, I actually have somebody on this list that I'm going to play in this segment. Whoops.
Wow.
All right. Wow. Yeah. What can I say? I got caught for the first time this year, and I'll explain my logic.
Hand in the cookie jar.
Hand in the cookie jar. Patrick, I hate to say it. You and I actually agree. Oh, there it is. Max Homa. You and I are both interested this week. Why are you going with Mad Max?
Yeah. I mean, he played great at the Masters. I'm willing to forgive the result at Harbortown, different golf course, coming off a real emotional week at Augusta National. Augusta National and Quail Hollow certainly have their similarities as well. He's obviously won at this golf course too, played well last year as well. So I'll get involved at 25-1. Hideki Matsuyama at 40-1 for all the reasons I said earlier. I mean, we're just forgetting he's a top 10 player in the world right now. So, I will take Hideki at 40. Will Zalatoris, I'm not super concerned about the back. I'm trying to galaxy brain this because the way I looked at it, if he had played the CJ Cup Byron Nelson and he had played this week and he had played next week, that would have been 6 weeks in a row. No players play 6 weeks in a row. He needed to somehow break up his schedule. A bit of a cop-out. I'm not saying he did, but that's something I would do. So I'm okay with his health. His ball striking is great. The iron play is fantastic. He's played well at tough golf courses this year, Riviera and Bay Hill, and this certainly aligns with those. So I will take a dip at 45 for Willie Z.
Wow, I give you credit. I'm not sure that I would have. I mean, the 6 weeks thing makes sense, and I'm glad you explained that. Yeah, nobody, unless you're Sung JM, you're not playing 6 weeks in a row. I mean, for the most part, or you're trying to earn your tour card. All right, Sia, you already teased your picks earlier in the show, and I'm with you. Wyndham Clark seems like a very good bet at plus 1600. I still feel like he's being disrespected in the odds against this field. He's the number 3 player in the world, and we're seeing Xander Schauffele at plus 900, and Wyndham, who won this by 4 strokes last year, is plus 1600. Seems like an absolute disrespect.
Yeah, it opened at 1,800, and in some markets, it's down to plus 1,400. I think FanDuel might have him at 1,400 now. BetMGM, I believe, and DraftKings still have him at plus 1,600. But I agree, he's getting disrespected. Listen, you could put Wyndham Clark firmly where Xander Schauffele is. And if you're like just a strokes gain guy and you're looking at what Xander's done, it might be slightly more impressive, at least across the board. But Xander's not winning like Wyndham Clark does. And Xander's not top-twoing like Wyndham Clark does. Frankly, at the API, at the Players, second place finishes behind Scotty Scheffler. At the RBC Heritage, the other signature event that we've seen over the last couple of months. So that's 3, right? He's third place there behind Scotty Scheffler and obviously somebody else. But I think you're right. I think he's getting disrespected in the market. I do think there's tournaments where he's not going to show up. And Patrick pointed that out. But I'm sorry. I feel like we're seeing Brooks Koepka, where it's like, all right, the signature events where I can make the most money and get the most clout, like those are the ones I'm really going to show up for. And I think in Brooks Koepka's case, I was one of the detractors from that narrative. I was like, well, that's kind of silly. He's showing up for the tournament. He wants to win the tournament. I think there are some people that are just made up differently. And I think Wyndham Clark is that sort of the current PGA Tour version of Brooks Koepka. And I by the way, I think he's that good too. I think he's a guy that can take down some majors over the next few years. Maybe he's not going to have Brooks Koepka's resume at the end of the day, but I don't think we can rule that out. And without Scotty Scheffler at plus 1600, even at plus 1400, I'm definitely all aboard there, especially with his recent form and the fact that he won last year. Victor Hovland, this is a bit of a shot in the dark. This is one of those, the stock is never going to be this low, in my opinion. We're not going to see the rest of this year, or maybe the rest of his career, Victor Hovland with an outright number sub plus 2,200. We're getting plus 2,800 in most markets. Some are down to plus 2,500. Some are even higher. I saw somebody get it at an even higher number. But again, if there is going to be a tournament where superstar Victor Hovland, I do still classify him as a superstar, is going to rebound, is going to be like, oh, yeah, here I am, like everybody forgot about me. It's going to be at a tournament that requires really good off-the-tee play, which he has, really good long iron play, which he has, a tournament that may mitigate the around-the-green troubles that he typically has had in his career, and especially in 2024. This is the course for him to make the rebound in, and I'm getting the plus 2,800. And by the way, part of the reason that number is so long is because he hasn't played in 3 weeks. In his case, I think that's a very good thing. In most people's case, I don't necessarily think it's a good thing. He had 3 weeks to reflect, change his game. For all we know, he's in perfect Victor Hovland vintage form.
Fair enough. I get it. If he wins this week, Sia, you should just wear a crown on the show next week. If I remember correctly, Patrick's the only one that's picked a winner.
That's right.
With Jake Knapp in Mexico. So we have some catching up to do, but I think we got it this week with Wyndham. I mean, the guy in signature events this year, I said this earlier, he went 29th at the Century, then he won at Pebble Beach, missed the cut at the Genesis, then he's gone 2-2, T3. I'm not including the Masters in that. I mean, that's incredible. He won this event last year by four shots. He's an elite ball striker. The putter is actually becoming a little bit more consistent. And just think about it. If that putt doesn't lip out of the players, I mean, we could be talking about Wyndham Clark right there with Scottie Scheffler, you know, maybe not that much, but nonetheless, Wyndham Clark being disrespected at plus 1600. Now, Patrick got Max Homa at plus 2500. I got him at plus 2200. He won this event at 2019 here. He won it in 2022 at TPC Potomac. He also finished T8 here last year. He was T8 as well at the Arnold Palmer Invitational and T3 at the Masters. So the game is in good form. And finally, yes, Justin Thomas. He is on my fade list, but I'm going against my fade list this week. JT, you won the 2017 PGA Championship at this course. You finished in the top five at the RBC Heritage with your best putting tournament of the season. You were T14 here last year in the midst of an awful season. Must like Quail Hollow. I think Justin Thomas is going to surprise. Now, do I love the number at plus 2,500? No. Do I wish I parlayed it with Sia's Mets in the first five? Not sure how they're doing, but yeah, I wish I did because I don't love this number. But this is one of those you parlay, and if I get it at 50-1, yeah, I can stomach it. You're shaking your head, Patrick. You don't like that idea?
No, I'm just laughing, man. You do you. You do your own thing, man.
That's why you guys win, and you know me. Just wait till the long shots. We know how the long shots go for me. Let's see them right now. Patrick, you came on before the show, and you said, I'm picking a long shot. I can't believe I'm doing this. So, Denny, what's wrong with Denny? Denny should have won the other week. What's the problem at 8,500?
Yeah, I don't like how wet the golf course is. And I think we're supposed to get some rain Thursday night too as well. And obviously, it'll dry out before play starts. But the additional rain will certainly not do anything to help. And I love Denny on... he's sneaky good on long, firm and fast, hard golf courses. You think about Muirfield Village. He played well at the Country Club too for that U.S. Open. Sneaky good U.S. Open record. And so he played well here last year as well. Finished towards the top of the leaderboard. I think he had a top 10 finish, I want to say. A T8 maybe. And so I was all in at 8,500. And I bet him at 85-1. But I'm a little hesitant, I'll say that, which honestly could be a good thing. The old fade myself type of thing.
Hey, I got to
work for Jake Knapp. Work for Jake Knapp.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. No, that's a good point. I do have a parlay for you. It's Denny and Grayson Sigg over at Myrtle Beach. You know what that would pay?
Retirement.
I mean, you could buy a new car. I was going to say you buy a new car with the winnings for that one. Even if you bet $25, you got Denny at 8,500. Grayson Sigg, I think, is plus 4,000. If anyone wants to do the math on that and put that in the chat, please let us know. All right, Sia, you're going with more reasonable odds, and Akshay at plus 5,000. Tell us why you like him.
Yeah, we've talked about him at length, so I'll just address it really quick. I like his ability to, first of all, we've seen him win this year at the Valero Texas Open, but I like his ability to spike with the ball striking, and I love how consistent the putter's been. It's the perfect combination. I think he's going to be good off the tee as well. He's just kind of a young, up-and-coming guy, but I don't know that we have really fully appreciated his potential on the PGA Tour. I think some people have, but in this tournament, I don't think it seems super likely that he can win, but plus 5,000 isn't super long, and it's not super long for a reason.
Fair enough. I'm going with the parlays. I mean, it wouldn't be an early wedge that I'm on without some parlays. Look at this top 10 one. This is great. You get these at DK here. Rory, Xander, Wyndham. I mean, and you get ties with that at plus 900. Where do I lose this one? I mean, these are your two bets, and you throw Rory in here, who has great history here at the Wells Fargo at Quail Hollow. I mean, come on, you got to admit, it's pretty good.
Plus 900 is a good number. It's just like top 10, there's only so much room, right? You're occupying about exactly 30% of the top 10 with these three names, and assuming none of them are going to falter. But to your point, plus 900 for, like, I think you could, there's no argument really. I think these are the three best players, probably recent form and historically in this tournament. I'm probably leaving out a couple of names, but plus 900 is an appetizing number for sure.
Now, Hef, listen, Xander has finished, I believe, in the top 10 in 8 of 11 tournaments this season. So if he doesn't finish in the top 10, he's not ruining my top 20 parlay. Guy finished second here last year. So Xander, Wyndham, Clark, and Max Homa, top 20 at plus 350. Now, this is short for me to include on the long shot screen, but I'm still going to roll with it. I feel good about both these. Don't hurt me, Xander and Wyndham. The synergy with Sia's finishing position bets and these two makes me feel so good. All right, let's talk a little Myrtle Beach. Patrick, you probably live fairly close to Myrtle Beach. I don't know my South Carolina geography, but you are not near that tournament this week. Grayson Sigg is playing in it. Are you picking him? And if not, give us a few names that you would look towards to possibly invest in.
I love Grayson Sigg this week. You see, you know me too well. I found a 50, honestly, on the guy. So that makes it even more appetizing. And so I saw some Daniel Berger love in the chat. Don't hate that at all if you want to get involved there. But for me, it is Grayson Sigg again. Come on. Next question.
See, I should have known better. Why did I even ask? is there a name or two that sticks out to you as to players we should potentially invest in Myrtle Beach?
Yeah, there's some sort of like middle tier odds that I kind of like. Justin Lower and Andrew Novak, I do like. I like Daniel Berger too, by the way, but his odds have kind of been pushed down a little bit. But last week I actually bet against him in a round one three ball, and he's the one that ruined it for me. And he was very good for all 18, and he was good in the tournament too. So I get the Daniel Berger part. I'm not really super interested in that at 25-1, but Justin Lower at 35-1, Andrew Novak at around 40-1. Both those guys have been playing really well different parts of this year. And in this field, I could see them popping.
I don't even know where I would go with this one. I just, in a tournament like this, where there's the favorite is at plus 2,500, I just don't have a good read on it. And that's why you guys are the experts and I'm just along for the ride here on the Early Wedge. So next week we have a big one. It's the PGA Championship. And one of us, I'm going to guarantee it, one of us is going to hit the winner in our outrights. I'm calling it. If you want to pick Scottie Scheffler, now we can do the anti-Scottie Scheffler, assuming he plays, and you do the without Scheffler, because I can tell you that's what I'm going to do. But one of us is hitting it. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Patrick, do you think Scottie not playing this week is a disadvantage next week, or do you think he's just playing too well where it just doesn't matter?
I don't think it really matters too much for him.
I do think the bigger disadvantage is that his routine is interrupted just by having a baby, right? So, I mean, when you're out of your routine, especially a routine that I assume he's been in for at least the duration of 2024, again, I don't know his routine. I don't know his personal details like Patrick McDonald does. But with that said, I got to think he is very routine oriented. And now you've got the baby bump and things of that nature in terms of like, I just had a baby. You sort of have all of the good feels behind that. But when your routine is interrupted and you're in the form that Scottie Scheffler is in, I actually think that's a pretty big deal.
All right. Give us one early bet before going into next week, knowing that Scottie's going to play. You can't say him. Who would be your early bet for the PGA Championship? Patrick, I'll start with you.
The Wyndham Clark double this week and next week.
Okay.
If you're betting him this week, you might as well throw some on next week too.
There. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I haven't studied it. I'm looking at the odds right now, so I'll throw out a name. The name that is jumping out to me, because I'm looking at the odds too, by the way, Wyndham Clark, at least on DraftKings, that's where I'm looking right now, is plus 2,500, which is a pretty good number, by the way. I'm going to go with, this might be a guy playing DFS this week too. I haven't decided. Patrick Cantlay at plus 2,800.
Okay. How about Brooks Koepka? I think it was brought up in, I think Jake posted in the chat. How do you feel about Koepka? He won on Live. He's getting in better form. The number seems short, especially with Scotty in the field. I think it's what, plus 1600. How do you guys feel about Brooks?
I would be very surprised if he is not a factor. If you look at his PGA Championship record since 2018, he's had, and you take out 2022, he wasn't 100%. The knee was a problem. He has entered every final round of the PGA Championship with a chance to win.
Wow. How about that, Sia?
Yeah, I mean, he seemed really dialed in over the last weekend. I guess we might have seen the interview after he won on Live. I do think he's going to be a factor. I mean, I don't think it's just lip service where he says, like, I'm very much focused. I was embarrassed by how I did at the last major. So, yeah, I do think he's going to be a factor. But I'm looking at all these names, some of the Live names that are actually playing, like, Mito Pereira, who has not played well on Live, 150-1. Like, I'm just excited to see these names. Like, Joaquin Neiman, I think, at shorter odds is. Harold Varner III is in this field at 150-1. Aaron Wise is in the field. Like, I wasn't even sure he was, like, I know he entered a tournament a few weeks back, but this is exciting. Like, we're going to have a lot of Live names that we didn't see at the Masters. Taylor Gooch, obviously, who's sucking up a lot of the oxygen on Twitter. This is going to be really exciting next week. I can't wait for it.
Well, as always, guys, it's fun to be on and learn from you and hopefully get some winning picks. We're going to hit more outrights on this show. The summer's coming along. The bigger tournaments are coming, and we are going to crush it. So want to thank Sia Najad and Patrick McDonald. Of course, our producer, Jake, who does a great job behind the scenes. I'm Eric Cohen. And as I always like to say, let's hit it big. Good luck.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.